Well, good evening. We're so glad that you're here tonight. It's always a joy for us to have our kindergarten graduation, and we're very grateful for the blessings on our ministry here. As I was thinking about the program, I was thinking about this great, cute bunch and bundle of energy. Don't you wish you could bottle that and take some of that home and drink it? And some of us who are a little bit older, we'd feel a whole lot better probably tomorrow morning. But, you know, it takes a special individual to be able to teach children. And we're very grateful for all the teachers at Heritage Christian School. But I think it takes somebody quite unique to teach those who are just getting started. And so we want to commend Mrs. Hoffman for the great job that she's done in teaching these children. It is amazing to watch as these children can take all this information in and digest it and then be able to give it back in front of a congregation like this. You don't know how frightful you are to stand before, and the kids have done a great job tonight. Well, if you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 for just a moment. It's my responsibility to speak to you while the children are changing, and I want to speak on the thought this evening on the most important thing to give a child, the most important thing to give a child. Now, I suppose that if we had a discussion, we could probably come up with a number of ideas here tonight of things that we think are important. I think it goes without saying that a child needs love. A child needs parents to guide them and direct them. But I think there's some other things that we find in the Scripture that are vitally important that a child would have in their life. And so I want to read for you from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to read verses 14 through 17, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now listen to verse number 15. "That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise into salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then verse number 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So as we look at this particular text, we find a preacher, an older preacher, speaking to a younger preacher, a young man that he had mentored, and his name, of course, is Timothy. In the first chapter, we find that Timothy is commended as a younger man in the sense that he is having a godly grandmother and a godly mother. And unfortunately, there isn't anything said about his father. So either he was physically or he was spiritually absent and in this young man's life. And I think that would be quite, in some respects, sad. There are some children, of course, are raised in single-parent homes, and we understand there's nothing that can be done about that. And certainly in the case of Timothy, it doesn't seem to be much said about his father. If he was physically present, perhaps he was spiritually absent. Perhaps he was both spiritually absent and physically absent. We don't know. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verses 2 through 5, I want you to turn over there if you'll look for just a moment. Notice what Paul says to Timothy about that. He says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing of remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears and being filled with all joy." And look at verse number 5. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So in our text, we find that the Apostle Paul is again commending Timothy because he had a blessed childhood. He said he had a grandmother who had a relationship with Christ, and he also had a father, or a mother that had a relationship with Christ. So what a blessing it is when a child, think about this, then a child at a young age, can know about God and then receive God into their young life. Here at Cleveland Baptist Church, we certainly, through our education ministry, we Heritage Christian School and at the church, we really make no apology for the fact that every child that walks through the door, we want them to understand how much God loves them and that to know the God of love. And so we put a great premium on that here at the church. And we want children to know, every child to know, even at a young age, that they can trust Jesus Christ personally as their Lord and Savior. And what a tremendous blessing it is for a child to grow up with that kind of relationship. I have a testimony, something similar to that. I was saved at a very young age because of my parents, because of the church that I was a part of. I got saved at the age of 5. And I was and I am far from perfect, but I have to tell you that relationship early in my life really has made a world of difference. And I know that because of that relationship, it has really kept me from a lot of heartache, grief, and sorrow that I perhaps would have known if I didn't have Christ as my own Savior. So it's sad to see so many children in our society today. As we think about it, we have a society today when many children are raised without God or proper spiritual influence in their life. And it's even sadder to understand that our culture, in many respects, is turning hostile towards the things that are spiritual, specifically Christianity. There was a time not too long ago, some of us remember, and some in this room would remember the days that even in a public realm of education, they would read the Bible and they would pray. And those things, of course, have been removed. And now, not only are they removed, now there's really a hostility towards the things of God in many respects in our culture. And it's a difficult time. And so as we think about it, we understand that it seems that there's little tolerance. There's little tolerance for folks that have faith and want to live it out. It's okay if you have your faith and just keep it to yourself. But if you want to flesh it out in the world, there's very little tolerance in this world in which we're living. So whether it's popular or not to be called a Christian, it's still important that a person becomes one. So what are these most important things that we should give a child? And I want to give you three truths tonight, and I believe that they're found here, certainly in the pages of Scripture. First of all, I think it's important that a child has a parent who knows the Lord as their Savior. I really do believe that's a great blessing that a child can receive. Timothy, think about this, had a godly grandmother who obviously knew the Lord. He had a godly mother who knew the Lord, and their relationship had a profound impact upon Timothy because that's the implication. Paul says, hey Timothy, I think about the relationship that your grandmother had and the relationship that your mother had, and I'm persuaded that it's in you as well. Now, no child gets saved simply because they're born into a family whose parents are saved. We do not believe in covenant theology, which basically says the parents are saved so the children are saved. Now, again, the thought is that children born into a family like that, they just naturally grow up in the faith, and so therefore they're protected. Now, I would say to you that a child that's born into a family that has a relationship with Christ has a better chance of trusting Christ as their Savior than a child who grows up in a family with no relationship with Christ. But certainly the parental influence on the life of a child is critical. So I can speak to firsthand to that particular truth in my own life. My parents were saved before I was born. However, it wasn't until they started attending this particular church in its infancy that they really understood about living the Christian life and the practical aspects of everyday living. They knew what it was to be saved, but really the everyday elements of living out their Christian life was lacking until they began to be in a church where that kind of teaching was emphasized and where the truths of the Scripture were presented. And so as a result of their beginning to live that out, as a young child, I began to see in the life of my parents how important the faith was. They didn't just talk about it, they lived it. And as a result of that, it had a tremendous influence upon my life. And of course, my two sisters, all of us were saved at a young age, and we all grew up to live the faith. Both my sisters married men who know the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, I'm married tonight, and for the last 43 years, I've had a woman walked by my side who also knows the Lord Jesus Christ, and we raised our children to know the Lord, and they've grown up to marry people who love the Lord and are raising our grandchildren in the things of Christ. And it's all because of this relationship with Jesus Christ. I grew up in a happy home, and I believe that my children could speak to the fact that they too grew up in a happy home. And so a child that has parents that have Jesus Christ as their Savior, that makes a world of difference. And wouldn't it be wonderful if every child in this world would have parents like that? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every child in this room would have parents like that? And it would be our prayer that that would be the case. The second thing that I think a child needs, not only have parents that know Christ, but for a child to be raised in a good church. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "But if I tarry long," speaking to this young man Timothy in the first epistle, "if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." According to the Bible, church wasn't invented by men. It was God's idea. God put a church in place. In fact, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, established the very first church and put it in place in this world. And he said that he was going to build his own church. And so as we think about that, we understand that God said, hey, this is my idea. This is my thought. a proper New Testament church is about giving members not just what they want, but giving them the truth of what the Word of God says, and then teaching them to flesh that out in everyday life. And so a good church is a great place for a child to grow up. I had the privilege of growing up in this church. And of course, that was many, many years ago. But I have the privilege, and as many times as I stand here in this pulpit, I look out across the congregation, I see people who many, many years ago were my Sunday school teachers and people that had a tremendous influence upon my life, people who taught me the Word of God, people who counseled me, people who worked with me in the youth department, and people that are still part of this church family. So then, of course, what we heard preached in the church, we saw practiced in our home. And so there was a blending, if you would, that we heard the truth, but then we saw the truth practiced. And then I saw it reinforced in a Sunday school class. Some of my closest friends in growing up were other children and teenagers who had the same faith and were part of the same church. Now, we were in church a lot. I mean, we're in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every special service. And I didn't resent the fact that I was raised in church, because this church helped me, and it's like a family. So a child who is brought up in a church is going to be instructed in the truths found in the pages of Scripture. If it's a right church, they're going to be instructed in the things of the Scripture. We start as young in our toddler department to begin teaching children the truths of the Word of God, how to sing the songs of the faith, and then they just kind of graduate up through the steps, and it just gets a little bit more involved in each and every year, building upon that which they have. And so it's a wonderful thing where they're being instructed in truth in a good church. And of course, here Cleveland Baptist Church has a part of its ministry, Heritage Christian School. So we not only have the Sunday school and the ministry here, but then Monday through Friday, we have the Christian school, where children are instructed in academics, strong academics, as you saw tonight, starting here in the kindergarten, going right through the high school, but then with a Christ-centered worldview. So as they're part of this ministry, and it's a wonderful thing. So think about it, a child who has parents who know Christ, a child who is part of a good church, and perhaps has a quality school to attend, all those things are important things that will be a part of a child's life to build them in the truths of God's Word. And then the third thing that a child needs, and I suppose that all of us would understand, it goes without saying, but I mentioned it early on, but a child needs to understand their need of salvation. So when we think about children, why we don't try to talk children into salvation here, they're certainly presented with the truth of the gospel at young ages. And we believe that if they, of course, are exposed to that truth early on in their life, their parents know Christ, they're presented those truths, whether it's in a classroom or in a church service or at a junior church service, at some point that child, they're going to understand their own particular need. That was the case in my life. I, as I said, I was 5 years old. I can remember where I was seated, not in this building, but in the first auditorium. And I could take you to the approximate place. It's so real to me tonight, many, many years removed. It's still real to me that day that I trusted Christ as my Savior. I remember it as clear and as I'm standing here, and remember personally receiving Christ as my Savior. And so for the last, 50-some years of my life, it's greatly impacted my life to have that relationship. And I think the gospel message is so simple that a child can understand it. Paul said that Timothy had known the Scriptures from a child and that they were able to make them wise unto salvation. So as we think about that, again, it's vitally important that a child makes this decision. Somebody may say, well, why does a child need to be saved? Well, because children at a certain point become to the point where they understand that they too are sinners. We believe, of course, that a young child that really doesn't have the ability maybe to comprehend all the gospel is what we call in a state of innocency. But at a certain point, that child has cognitive skills and has the ability to understand the truths of the Bible. And when they're presented with that, then they understand that they too are fallen, Adamic sinners who need forgiveness of their sin. Our sin separates us from God. It's the thing that separates us from a holy God. And the only way that we can be reconciled to God, of course, is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of God's own Son. Think about this. God loved us so much that he sent his own Son into this world to die on the cross for our sins. And God presents to us the opportunity that we would turn from that sin and put our faith and trust in the one who paid for it. It's like a gift that God presents to every person, that when they understand that this is not something they can purchase, they're not going to go to heaven because they're good, they're not going to go to heaven because they're raised in a religious home, they're not going to heaven because they're part of a good church, but they're going to go to heaven because they have personally said, hey, I need Christ as my Savior. I'm a sinner, and as a sinner, I need to be forgiven because that sin has a penalty. And so as we think about that, I'm so very grateful that children have that opportunity. And I want to encourage you tonight as a parent that don't keep your kids from those spiritual things. Understand how important that is. So perhaps you're a part of this service tonight, and maybe you're not a Christian yourself. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, you know, I'm not certain of my own salvation. Can I just tell you, it's not difficult tonight to be saved. You just need to understand that you're a sinner, that Jesus died for you, and that he rose again the third day as a declaration that God accepted his payment. And you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when you do, the Bible says that you can be saved. You can know that your sins are forgiven, that heaven is your home, that Jesus Christ is your Savior. So again, that's vitally important. You can present your child, if you're here tonight and one of your children is here or one of your grandchildren is here, you can present them with being a new person in Jesus Christ. The Bible makes the statement in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man, or in that case, the word man there means generic man or woman, therefore, if any man be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Sometimes people say, I'd like to have a new start. Well, you can have a new start if you're not saved tonight. You can have a new beginning through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great thing that would be to give to a child that's part of this program tonight, or maybe sitting next to you, a parent who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and to make that difference. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, you're not part of a good church. I would encourage you to give consideration to the importance of church in your life. Not just on a special occasion like this, but to be a part of a family that you come into and grow in your faith and grow in your relationship. I'm telling you that in many respects, folks in a church become as close to us as our own physical family, sometimes even closer because of the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. And it'll be in a place, a good church, where you're going to hear the Word of God taught and preached, and it'll help you in your development of your spiritual life. And finally, if your children aren't Christians, I would encourage you to do everything within your power, maybe even here tonight, to say, you know, I'm going to pray for my child every day. Maybe you're already doing that, but maybe it really hasn't dawned on you to say, you know, part of my responsibility is to bring my own children into the faith. My wife is here tonight, and it was our desire that as we were raising our children many, many years ago, that no one else would lead them to Christ, but we personally would lead them to Christ. We thought we knew them better than anyone else. And why we wouldn't be unhappy if someone else led them to Christ, we certainly thought that that was our responsibility. And by the grace of God, we had the opportunity to win each and every one of our children to the Savior, ourselves personally. And if you're sitting here tonight and you have children, whether they're young or maybe they're older, would you really make that a matter of prayer? Say, God, would you save the life of my child? Would you help them to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior? Those are things that are vitally important in the life and the heart of a child. I'd like you to bow your heads together with me for prayer tonight.